Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this beautiful Sabbath day here on the West Coast, and I pray it's beautiful where you are as well. Praise God for allowing us to come together once again and to worship Him from whom all blessings flow with one spirit and one voice. And it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you today. Welcome also to those that are joining us on the phone and those listening to the recording. And I'm glad you are here. And before we get into our study book, who would like to open our service with prayer? Please go right ahead.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts, just come humbly before our Father. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee once more, Lord Jesus, we want to thank You for taking us safely through another week, for waking us up and for putting us together today, dear Father God. I pray that You forgive us for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings, anything that we have done in this body, known and unknown. We also pray for healing, dear Father, as it has been the theme of our study this morning, dear Father, that You put Your healing hands upon those that are sick and afflicted and bring restoration according to Your perfect will. Lord Jesus, we pray for all those that are here and in their respective homes or areas wherever they are, coming to honor Thee, dear Father, and to worship Thee. I pray that You send Your heavenly angels to encamp about each and every one of our dwellings, dear Father God. Be with us mind, body, and spirit, and open up our eyes, our ears, and our understanding that the words of truth may be planted deeply in our heart's soil, dear Father. And let us not just be hearers of the words, but doers of the word, dear Father. Let us be able to have our light so shine, especially in this world, dear Father, where there are so many things happening day by day, dear Father. And please, Lord, give us a peace, dear Father. Be with us and keep us under Your wings of mercy continuously, dear Father God, I pray. Lead us on high, dear Father. Help us to remember that You are the one who is in charge of all things. Nothing happens without You knowing, and nothing happens without Your say, dear Father. And we pray that You help us to meditate upon that as we go in and out. And help us not to take for granted any of Your small mercies dearly, dear Father. And we thank You for taking us through day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour, dear Father. Lord Jesus, we thank You and we love You in all things. Forgive us once more for where we have fallen short. Be with those brethren that are not here today for whatever reasons, or wherever they may be. May they be enwrapped in Your love, dear Father God, and may they remember that it's the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we thank You and we love You. In no other name than Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. We are continuing in our study book, Christ Object Lessons. We're in the very last chapter. In my understanding, one of the most important chapters in this book and dealing with the parables of Christ. The chapter is titled To Meet the Bridegroom, and we left off pretty close to the bottom of page 406 last time. And what we were discussing when we ended was that Christ was up on a hill and He was looking down below and He saw a wedding party waiting for the bridegroom to come. And so as they were waiting for the bridegroom to come, Christ gave this parable of the 10 virgins. And we recognize that out of the 10, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, but all 10 fell asleep. So even the wise fell asleep. So that part didn't make them wise. And then we understood that when they woke up, they trimmed their lamps, they grabbed oil out of their vessel to put into the lamp, and only the wise recognized they had just enough oil to keep their light burning, but the foolish recognized they didn't have enough. So we see that there's two different groups. And at this point in the parable, you really can't tell which is which. You see, some have enough oil and some don't. But the wise ended up leaving the company of the bride's house and the foolish virgins and joined Christ, the bride, and the procession outside on their way towards the Father's house or the bridegroom's home. So there you see a difference between the 10 virgins. 5 left in obeying the message, the bridegroom cometh, go out to be with him, meet him. And you see that 5 stayed behind, but the 5 that stayed behind went looking for oil to be able to have their light shining brightly once again. So now you see there's 2 different groups. So the experience of the wise is they wake up at the message telling them to leave their company and join Christ. They prepare themselves by cleaning up their lives, cutting away the black soot of selfishness from their hearts. And they have enough of the Holy Spirit in their lives to obey the message and they leave. The experience of the foolish is they wake up at the message, they cut away selfishness from their lives, they trim their lamps, but they recognize they don't have enough of the Holy Spirit to obey the message at that time. So they say, yeah, we know the message is true, but it's not yet time to leave for me. I'm going to stay behind for a little bit, and then at a later time, I'll go ahead and separate. But when that later time came, the door of mercy was already closed. Probation was over. And they were too late to be saved. So when the message to separate from all the churches comes to you, you need to wake up, you need to clean up your lives, and you need to have enough of the Holy Spirit working within you to obey the message. Don't wait for a more opportune time to obey. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Don't be a foolish virgin. So that's where we left off. And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. The 2 classes of watchers represent the 2 classes who profess to be waiting for their Lord. In other words, Christians. They are called virgins because they profess a pure faith. By the lamps is represented the word of God. The psalmist says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalms 119:105. The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Thus the Spirit is represented in the prophecy of Zechariah. The angel that talked with me came again, he says, and waked me as a man that is waked out of his sleep. And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his 7 lamps thereon, and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And 2 olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Then he said, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So we see that these two different groups, these ten virgins, the wise and the foolish, represent the two classes who profess to be waiting for their Lord. So it represents all Christians in all denominations around the world. Two different groups profess to be waiting for their Lord. Some are wise, some are foolish, but you don't know which until one group follows the bridegroom out of the church. One group doesn't. That's who you know represents these two groups. While they're members of the church, while they're associating together, you don't know which is which. Remember, they all fell asleep. They were only awakened by the cry. Without that cry telling them to leave and join Christ, they would have remained asleep. So it wasn't the Sunday law that woke them up. It wasn't natural catastrophes that woke them up. It was the cry that woke them up. Yeah, amen. Comment in the room says, reminds me of the wheat and the tares. Exactly. It's the very same experience, only brought about or brought to notice through two different ways. You don't know who's a wheat and who's a tare until the harvest. So here in the parable, you don't know who's the wise or who's the foolish until the message is given. So they're called virgins because they profess a pure faith. So they don't profess to be worshiping the devil. They don't profess to be following the doctrines of Babylon. They profess that they're really Christians, that they follow the word of God. So you can't tell them apart just by profession alone. The lamp that they hold represents the word of God. The oil that keeps the light on the end of the lamp burning brightly is the Holy Spirit. So there's no way that I can take of the Holy Spirit or the oil that is within my lamp, right? There's no way I can give you any of the oil because it's the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit yourself. And that is by experience. You allow God's word to be written in your heart and mind by the Spirit's power. You allow the Holy Spirit to empower you, encourage you to follow that word, and he'll give you all the grace and the strength from God to accomplish that work. So you can see it's an experience. I can't give my experience in following God to you. It's something you have to develop yourself. You have to have the Holy Spirit within you. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's every day, every moment of every day. Now, Ellen White brought out the fact that the Holy Spirit is represented in this vision that was given to Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel was the high priest at that particular point in time. And notice that it says that the oil travels through two golden pipes. And these golden pipes are the two anointed ones. And these two anointed ones are standing by the Lord of the whole earth. So the oil goes through two golden pipes to the bowl. And from the bowl, it goes to all the lamps. So the oil travels through pipes, and these pipes are referred to as the two anointed ones. So who are these pipes? Who are these two anointed ones that stand by the Lord? Amen. Comment room, the Old and New Testament. Amen. So here we see that the Word of God is represented as the two anointed ones that are right by Him. In other words, He is the Word. And the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit travels through the Word of God, the Old and New Testament, to the bowl. A bowl upon the top of it. And from the bowl, the oil goes out to the seven lamps thereon. So this describes how the Spirit works. The Spirit only comes to you through the inspired Word of God. So the Spirit just doesn't work in your heart without any connection to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. What truth? God's truth, right? Christ Himself, who is the truth. So the only way that the Spirit operates upon your heart is through the truth. So if you have individuals that are not following the truth and yet they claim to have the Holy Spirit working within them, well, that's a big red flag there, you know, because the Spirit doesn't work through error. It only works through truth. And where do we find God's word of truth? The Old and New Testament. You could also say the law and the testimonies. So the Spirit only works through the inspired word of God. And the Spirit will convict us of sin. We've broken God's word. We've broken His law. He will convict us of righteousness. This is the way, walk ye in it. This is how you obey God's word. This is what God wants you to do. And of judgment. We have a limited amount of time to get our act together, to truly be followers of the Lamb, or followers of the devil. The foolish virgins were not followers of the Lamb. When the Lamb said, follow me out of the church, they said, not yet. Maybe next year. I actually had one individual tell me that. I know the message is true, but I'm a teacher in the Sabbath school, so I have a great responsibility to teach the truth to the people there, and maybe when my term is over, then I'll leave then. I have not had any word that she ever left. And that's going on 25 years. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. When God says do something, that's your day of opportunity to do it. And you may not like what God's asking you to do, but we need to crucify what we like, what we don't like, in order to have the grace and the strength to follow God. So the only channel through which the Holy Spirit operates is the truth. Any comments, thoughts, questions? Please go right ahead.
The foolish versions, this may sound kind of weird, but it really, to me, in my little brain, it kind of fits. The foolish versions remind me of like a plague. And why I say it like that is because they're contagious. They have that same mentality and they will spread it abroad. And then others will get caught up with that same mentality, like the gentleman you just mentioned. Oh, I'm going to wait and I'm going to see, I know what's going on, but I'm not going to do that yet. I'm a Sabbath school teacher. So they remind me in some way, and I know that's quite dramatic, but they do remind me much like, some kind of virus or plague. And in the house of God, which we understand that the tares are growing up with the wheat. We also know if we take a look and study out tares, they are usually quite infested with little mites. And these little mites, they kind of eat away at not just the tares, but the wheat. And so they don't do any good at all in the whole crop. So I think it's very important when, by God's grace, not by our own insight that we think we know so much, but by God's grace, when the Lord shows us, okay, that person there, that person you need to move away from because they're going to bring you away from me. We need to be obedient and not sacrifice it because, oh, that's my friend. You know, we get along real well, and I know that I'm going to rub off on them sooner or later. They're going to come around. No, no. If the Lord is saying no, then that is probably the best thing to do is, even though it hurts, and there was a time in Scripture when there was a, please help me. There was, a rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem, and the men had taken to themselves wives that were not of the people of God, and a prophet of God had told them, no, you got to separate from them, and you need to send them off, and you need to send off their children, and you need to be away from them and be clean before the Lord. And it was a painful thing. However, it was the right thing. Before the Lord, he needed a holy people. And I guess I mentioned that because being that we, you know, being human, we tend to unfortunately get attached to things and attached to people and sentimental and things like that. So we have to be very listening to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is telling us, no, that thing or that person has got to go. It may hurt, but it will be definitely worth it in the end, though we don't understand it. So I apologize for going on so long, but I wanted to try and get that point.
Amen. Amen. I think the key is, if God is leading you, impressing you, and telling you to do something, that's the time to do it, whether you agree with it or not. Because our feelings are not a criteria whether we should follow something or not follow something. Feelings are very fickle. They're very changeable. They can be easily manipulated. But God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's not fickle. It's not arbitrary. It's the truth. And if the Spirit is impressing you to follow the truth, then that's the time you need to follow it. Even if you don't understand all of it. Even if you don't agree with all of it. Truth is truth, whether you understand it or don't understand it, whether it's a partial understanding or full understanding. It's still the truth. And that's the only safe course, the only safe pathway to walk on is the pathway of truth. So, amen, brother. Any other thoughts or comments? Yeah, amen. Tares cause sleep. They have a particular poison inside of the tares. Tares are like a little black seed, right? It has what's called a soporific poison within it. That soporific poison is a sleep-producing poison. So if you ingest enough of tares, then you will sleep the sleep of death. Now, the virgins were sleeping, but they weren't sleeping the sleep of death where you never wake up. But they were in a deep sleep. It wasn't the righteousness of Christ that woke them up. It wasn't the Sunday law that woke them up. It wasn't the state of the dead that woke them up. The only message that woke them up was Christ is coming. Go out and be with him. So tares produce sleep, but tare is a weed. And it's the nature of weeds to send their roots out and steal nutrition from any other plant roots that are nearby. So if the wheat, which is a beneficial plant, if the wheat remained too long in the vicinity of tares, they will lose nutrition and they will become weak. They will wither and die. So yeah, amen. Tares can choke the wheat to death. And just as our dear brother was sharing, you don't want to remain very long in the vicinity of those who are not following God. Yeah, it's like a leech. It steals vital nutrition and fluids from another. Well, that's the nature of weeds, right? So gardeners know this. If you leave weeds alone in the garden, they're going to grow tremendously fast and bigger than the vegetable plants that you want to grow. Vegetable plants need attention. They need care in order to produce the fruit, the grain, whatever it is, the vegetables that you want from them. So if you see a weed coming up, you need to get that weed out of there quick, because that weed is going to leech off nutrition from the soil and will steal it away from your vegetable plants. Yeah, and when you're dealing with woody bushes like grapevines and fruit trees, you need to prune away branches that aren't producing fruit so that the ones that are producing fruit will have more nutrition to send to the growing fruit. Oh, thank you. A tare is also called a darnel. And the seeds of darnels or tares have a very potion. Yeah, it's called soporific. And enough of them will produce sleep, convulsions, and death. Amen. So the only channel through which the spirit operates is the truth. So then when the midnight cry came to the virgins, the bridegroom is coming, he's passing you by because he's not in your midst, and you need to go out and be with him if you want to be part of the wedding. That was the Holy Spirit speaking to their hearts through that message. And a lot of people don't recognize that. They know that the Holy Spirit is coming in latter rain power, which is 10 times greater than early rain power, but they focus on power. So yes, I can have the Holy Spirit now without the message. And that is a sad mistake. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth, which means he only operates through the truth. And in this particular parable, Christ is coming. He's not in your midst. You need to wake up and go out and be with him. That was the Holy Spirit speaking directly to each of the virgins. So the Spirit was contained in the message. Any other thoughts or comments, Dermot? Go ahead, Sister Gabby. So bringing it down to our day and age, when the loud cry comes to a church member, your church is part of Babylon. God is calling you out to join Christ. That is the Holy Spirit speaking to that virgin, to that church member, through the message. Now, the tendency, the human nature is, I don't want to go where I'm already at. I'm comfortable here. But the Spirit is pricking the heart of that church member, saying, this message is important. You need to study it out, and you need to obey it. So what is that church member going to do? The devil comes in and says, it's not time to leave yet. Maybe in the future, such as at the Sunday Law, it'd be time to leave, but it's not time to leave yet. There's still a lot of work to do within the church. Yeah, or he brings about emotions like fear, or he may bring about criticisms. Well, I don't like the person that brought the message to me, or I don't like what I've heard about people who follow this message, or I don't like the tone that the message was given to me, or I've heard about these people, they're an offshoot, so the devil brings in all kinds of excuses to keep that church member comfortable in the church. Yeah, amen. Perfect love casts out fear. how much do you love the Lord? Versus, how much do you love your position? Do you love your friends? Do you love your family members? Do you love your church? Do you love anything more than God? Then you've broken the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods ahead of me. So this loud cry message wakes up all the church members in all the denominations around the world. What are they going to do? You see two groups that are forming from this message. One group clings closer to the church. The other group clings closer to Christ. And then a division takes place. And when one group leaves, they're following the pathway of the wise. When the other group stays behind, they're following the pathway of the foolish. So if you cling to the church, you're lost. If you cling to yourself, you're lost. If you cling to the world, you're lost. If you cling to your possessions, you're lost. If you cling to your loved ones, you're lost. If you cling to Christ, you're saved. Isn't that the gospel? Any other thoughts or comments, Jerome?
Just the one that I had posted, because it ties into what you were saying before concerning what the adversary does. And he does go ahead and keep them very comfortable right where they are. However, the diabolical thing that really comes into play is he also keeps them out of God's word at the same time. So they're very comfortable with their position, or they're very comfortable with the people, or they're very comfortable with where they're located, it's in their neighborhood, but they don't pick up the word of God to see if what is being said is actually true. So he keeps them there in the cage, and then he also takes away their food. So it's really, really, really bad.
Amen. Amen. I've seen that firsthand. I was impressed to give some printed materials to some church members, Adventist church members, and a great majority of them didn't take the time to read the material themselves. They just went and gave it to the pastor. So if the pastor would agree with it, then they would agree with it. If the pastor disagreed with it, then they disagreed with it. So that kind of supports exactly what you're saying, dear brother. The devil wants people to be comfortable within all the denominations and listen and follow what the leaders tell them. And if the leaders won't give their consent to a particular person or a particular message, then they won't give their consent to that person or message either. It's similar to how the Jews looked up to their rabbis and priests. They allowed the rabbis and the priests to tell them what was true and what was not true. And even the disciples of Christ were having problem understanding the truth that Christ was telling them, because it conflicted with what their church leaders had told them. So God wants us to develop an individual, personal relationship with the Savior, with the truth. So we don't want to get our food like babies do from another human. We want to get our food directly from the Word of God, the bread of life, the bread sent down to us from heaven. So we have to eat ourselves. We have to search for the food ourselves. The manna didn't fall into vessels within the tents of the Israelites. They had to go out and search for it. Every morning, so every day, we need to search for the food that's found in the Word of God. And then we'll be growing by that word. Any other thoughts or comments?
I like to share a comment that goes along with the part of the story. It's supposed to be the last lesson concerning vegetables that goes along with the last part of the parable of the flat 10 virgins. It talks about both vegetables and in particular the potato. It says here that there are other parts of plants used as vegetables. Bulb vegetables consist of many fleshy leaves that surround a short stem. The base in the ground is usually a way it's eaten. Bulbs are garlic, leeks, onions, and shallots. As we noted earlier, several of these foods are mentioned in Numbers 11:5. These are used as seasonings in food. So Christians are like seasonings in this wicked world. Proverbs 12:3 says, the root of the righteous shall not be moved. And Jesus is called the root of Jesse in Romans 15:12. As there is much virtue in a well-cooked onion, so there is much virtue in the root of Jesse. The onion belongs to the lily family, and Jesus is the lily of the valley, as said in Psalm 2:1. The most common flower vegetables are broccoli and cauliflower. Well, a little pause us for a moment. The foolish virgins' hearts weren't rooted in their task. If only they just learned to stay awake or to be on alert for the bridegroom, then they would have made it to the wedding. But we can see thanks to their lack of being alert, they were already too late. You know, they told the bridegroom who they were. He already said he doesn't know them. And that's what happens when we're not alert. We'll be missing whatever is important. And either you being to the word or for important than that. And continuing, stems support the leaves, flowers, and fruits of a plant. The three most eaten stems are the asparagus, the celery, and the kohlrabi. Most tubers are a special kind of stem that grow underground. The main ones used as vegetables are potatoes and Jerusalem artichokes. There are a variety of plants parts used for food. The potato is most well-known tuber used as food nearly everywhere in the world. It is a perennial plant with compound leaves. The leaves are said to be poisonous. The flowers are purple, star-shaped, and large. The roots grow roundish, fleshy tubers, which are the edible potato. These vegetables are tucked away out of sight until needed for food. Then they are brought up into the light out of their soil bed to see which have fully developed. Likewise, it was not clear who the true alert virgins were until the bridegroom came. Then they were brought out into the open for all to see who was wise and who was foolish. Potatoes are recommended for the treatment of scurvy, acid in the stomach, stomach ulcers, arthritis, gout, and more. The juice of raw potatoes is used for these diseases in doses of 3 cups a day. Raw grated potatoes can be used externally on light burns, itching, etc. As potatoes are helpful in the physical crisis, so the oil was needful for the virgins when a crisis came. So we see through the lesson into this vegetable, full of the many uses it has. And clearly, the doctors were all, who used these vegetables were alert on how to use it and what purpose that they had. And it's special for medicine and also some of the favorite foods love eating, like mashed potato, french fries, and so forth. Anyway, since the main lesson was being alert, the foolish is burdens failed to be that since they were already tired and not able to get on time because of their lack of being alert. And that seemed the case for even in the watchers. Since watching it requires us to be alert, that's what we ought to be. And since the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is what can help us to be alert for when Christ's coming will occur, and to be even ready for whatever events may occur, be they good or bad. And just as we learn how made these bold vegetables like the potato and others, herbs are good at nurturing us to be alert. So being alert itself can nurture us to be cautious of what happens around us and to be ready for whatever occurs. And it can also help us just to be aware of what we read in God's word, so that we can remind ourselves of what to do, what is right and wrong, and what God requires us to do as we give out the word to others. And since God needs us to be alert for when and the enemy attempts to trick us into doing what is wrong, or if others today might try to convince us to do things against his commandments, that's how we can learn to be alert and to avoid whatever temptations and to always used to do the right thing. And that's the comment I want to give.
Yeah. Thank you, dear brother. So the 10 virgins represent 2 different groups of church members who profess to be waiting for the Lord. And then they're tested by a message. And there's a tendency to look at these two groups as being 50-50. Half of those are foolish and half of those are wise. But in reality, the vast majority are foolish. The minority are wise. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Oh. From the two olive trees, the golden oil was emptied through the golden pipes into the bowl of the candlestick, and then into the golden lamps that gave light to the sanctuary. So from the holy ones that stand in God's presence, his spirit is imparted to the human instrumentality who are consecrated to his service. The mission of the two anointed ones is to communicate to God the people that heavenly grace which alone can make his word a lamp to the feet and a light to the path. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 4:6.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So, the golden lamps, not the anointed ones, not the Holy Spirit, not the bowl, the lamps is what gave light to the sanctuary. So the Spirit can't accomplish the work of God by himself. The two anointed ones, the Old and New Testaments, or the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy, they can't accomplish giving light to the sanctuary or giving light to the whole world. So you can see the purpose of God's word through the Spirit is to come directly to you and me so that our light can shine and illuminate all around. So if you've ever wondered why the heavenly angels can't finish God's work, they'd like to, you know, but they can't, because the plan of salvation is designed for humanity to reach humanity with the truth about Christ. So that means you and I, we have a responsibility to let our light shine to all around in presenting Christ and the truth to our fellow human beings. And in this great responsibility, we're not to depend upon ourselves. We're to allow the Word of God to be written in our heart and mind by the Spirit, who will grant us the grace that is necessary to allow our light to shine. And it shines to illuminate the face of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah, and through much prayer, you're right. Because we are frail. We are untrustworthy. But God's divine power can transform us into being loyal, constant followers of our King. So without God's divine power, we're nothing. But with God's divine power, then this whole world can be filled with the glory of God. Any comments, thoughts, questions, insights? Please go right ahead.
Jesus became human to tell us we had salvation. And that makes me think that humans need to tell humans about God with the Holy Spirit telling them what to say. Because God's word in the Bible is there for everyone to see. But just like the parable, it needs a voice. And that's where we come in with the Holy Spirit.
Wisely said, my dear twin. And I'd like to share and also give a suggestion to my brothers and sisters, recommending them to read the 65th book of the Bible, which belongs to Jude. I was really amazed going through the chapters, verse by verse, and I saw that he was a defender of the Word of God, a defender to the gospel. And he dedicated his life upon this trend. I never had recognition of Jude's life referring to the Bible and what was written of him. It has placed a very deep concern in that we all have a job to do in bringing into knowledge the meaning, the deep meaning of the gospel of Christ. And I like to share that. It has made a very deep change in me. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother, and thanks for sharing. Any other thoughts or comments? Please go right ahead.
By the way, happy Sabbath, my dear brother.
Happy Sabbath. Big hugs to you. So another point here, the only way for your light to shine in the parable is through oil. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. So the only way for you to illuminate the face of Jesus is by having the Holy Spirit empower the truth in your heart. Without the Spirit, even though you may know the truth, it's going to be of none effect in reaching other hearts. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
In the parable, all the 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. All had lamps and vessels for oil. For a time, there was seen no difference between them. So with the church that lives just before Christ's second coming, all have a knowledge of the scriptures. All have heard the message of Christ's near approach and confidently expect his appearing. But as in the parable, so it is now. A time of waiting intervenes. Faith is tried. And when the cry is heard, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Many are unready. They have no oil in their vessels with their lamps. They are destitute of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So the parable starts out with these virgins being near the bride's home, not within the bride's home, near the bride's home. So this reveals that they went out of the bride's home waiting for the bridegroom. They're still right there near the bride's home, right? But they're not within it. And that's important to realize. Here you have a group of individuals that are not directly within the bride's home, but they're so closely associated with the bride's home that they're looked upon as being with the bride. Who could that group represent today? Not really connected with the church, but still associated with the church. Who could that group represent? Uh-huh. Sorry, I didn't hear that. Could you repeat it?
The home churches, those that have separated and are preaching God's message.
Well, no, because home churches have no association with the other churches at all. They're actually completely separate. Yeah, amen. A comment in the room says independent ministries or some independent ministries. Amen. So you have independent ministries that are not working within the denomination, but they're associated with the denomination. So they're near the bride's home, the denomination, but they're not within the bride's home because they're working outside of it. Yeah, yeah, they all profess a pure faith, right? So you have pictured here the bride's home. You also have pictured independent individuals that are outside the bride's home, but closely connected with her in close association. They're just right there. And it's these individuals that aren't directly within the bride's home, but outside the bride's home, that are depicted as virgins. They're anxiously, confidently expecting Christ to come soon. But Christ hasn't come. There's a delay. Their faith is tried. And then finally, a cry is made. Christ is coming, go out to meet him. Well, they already expected his coming, but yet that wasn't the end of the message. The message is go out to meet him. And when you look at the independent ministries today, the message of separation is almost utterly rejected by them all. So they're confidently expecting the coming of Christ, but when it comes to leaving the church, leaving association with the church, they will not do so. Not all of them, some will. And the reason that they're unwilling to do so is because they're unready. They're not yet ready to leave the church. They still want to work somewhat closely with the church. They still want to lead converts to join the church. And the reason that they will not leave is because there is no oil. They are destitute of the Holy Spirit. So they know the truth. They preach the coming of Christ. They confidently expect him to return soon, but they want to be saved with the church. And Christ isn't coming to take the church denomination to heaven. He's not coming to take groups to heaven. He's coming to take individuals to heaven. The message to Laodicea is to the Laodiceans, individuals, not to the Laodicean church itself. Christ knocks on the door of the heart of individuals, not on the door of the church. Read it there in Revelation 3. If any man, didn't say if the church hears my voice, if any individual hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, to her. So the message to Laodicea is to individuals. It's not to the whole church of Laodicea, to individuals. Just like this message. Behold, Christ comes, go ye. Will you do it? If you're destitute of the Holy Spirit, you can't, because you don't see any light in the message. So, in the day in which we live today, the church that lives just before Christ's second coming, which church? What's the next word? All. All churches. All denominations. That would be Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Episcopal, Adventist, all churches that live just before Christ's second coming. They have a knowledge of the scripture. They've heard about the message of Christ's soon return. They're confidently expecting his appearing. But multitudes are unprepared to leave the bride's home and join the Savior home. They think that the bride's home is their final destination. When Christ says, no, it's just a stopping point. Follow me and I'll lead you to the final destination. Now there is wise virgins who do leave, and praise God for that. So the message that goes to the bride It goes to the 10 virgins. It goes to all the members of the bridal party. Behold Christ. Get your eyes off the bride's home. Get them off of the members of the bridal party. Get them off of the world. Get them off of yourselves and focus them on Christ. That's Christ and his righteousness, isn't it? That's a third angel's message in verity. But that's not the end of the message. Go ye out to meet him. There's the loud cry. The church is part of Babylon. Come out of her, my people. So here's the third angel's message, Christ and his righteousness. And here's the fourth angel's message, come out of her, my people. If your eyes are not fixed first on Christ, then if you leave the church, you're just going to look for some other church to join. Because your eyes are not focused on Christ. You leave to connect yourself with Christ. You don't leave the church to connect yourself with anything else. And if you refuse to leave, it shows that you are destitute of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that is empowering you to follow that truth. I remember hearing one of the independent ministers, one of the 10 virgins, describe the Adventist church, and he says, if they kick me out, I'll come in the back door. If they kick me out the back door, I'll come in a window. If they kick me out a window, I'll find some other way to remain within the church. His eyes were not fixed on the bridegroom. And so the message of separation meant nothing to him. Let's not be a foolish virgin. The bride's home is not our final destination. Go ahead, dear brother.
Thank you, Brother Rob. I just wanted to touch back on a couple of different things concerning the condition of the church as it is as a whole, meaning because the Lord has his people everywhere and they're in all these different places. So there are a couple of things that I had touched on my heart concerning. One is confidence. Now, as those who are walking in present truth, really walking in it, they are looking confidently for the Lord's return. They are doing that. Then there are those, whether they're independent or whether they're inside these denominations, they claim to be looking confidently for the Lord's return. However, in my past experience with various denominations, whether it's Baptist or Assembly of God, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, whatever the case may be, one thing I found to be very, very rooted and even taught, it is a false confidence. They love to sing about the Lord Jesus coming. They love to have different gatherings that promote his coming. However, I've found while talking with some, especially ministers too, in this area, which was kind of shocking, which actually helped push me away and look for other different things too. And that is this. They don't really want the Lord Jesus to come. They're not really ready for him to come. Because if he comes, what will they have? They won't have a so-called church congregation. They won't have anything that they believe to do. The people I found also, it's really scary because they sing. And I was part of that too, singing with so much joy and alacrity about, oh, the Lord is coming, oh, hallelujah. But in my heart, I knew there is no way I wanted Jesus to return today, tomorrow, the day after. I wasn't ready for any of that. And truth be told, many in these organizations were not really ready for that, but they like talking about it. I find that that is also true with various independent ministries that I've come across. They want to talk about, and they do, present truth, and they want to talk about the three angels message, but when it comes down to truly being confident, having served in the military before for quite some years, I learned that in order to be confident in the weapon that I'm holding, I need to know it. I need to know the insides and out of it, take it apart, put it back together, clean it. If it's dirty, make it work. I need to know. I have to have confidence in that, and I can be ready for it. I use that analogy for this reason. When there are many that claim to be confident in these areas, they don't pick up their Bible. They don't get into the spirit of prophecy. They spend very little time on their knees before God. They don't gather their children together to read. All of these different things are actually signs and evidence that they are not confident and looking forward to. Because it kind of couples, too, being confident and looking forward to the Lord's return. Now, the additional thing that I wanted to add is that if they truly were, you know, if we all are really very confident, then we want more people to know. We want them to. We want to warn them. We want to let them know Jesus is coming and the end is coming very soon. Are you ready? Even if it means we lose a friend. Even if it means our families don't talk to us. Even if it means our boss says, you know what, we don't want you here anymore. It may come to those things. However, we're not to lose our confidence. Because that confidence is coupled in with action that shows people we believe in what we actually are saying. And we're going to repeat it until they bury us. Jesus is coming. So there is an excitement, yes. But there is a solemnity on top of it all too. Jesus is coming. So what side are we going to be on? I share those things for this reason. I love to be able to be confident that the Lord is coming. Yet I know I have many things to still be fixed in me. It does not mean, though, I don't want him to come. I want him to. Whether I'm ready or not, I want Jesus to come. That's the bottom line. Because that's what I believe in. And I share that with whomever the Lord opens opportunities with. Regardless, and with the various backgrounds that I've had, I can share with many different types of people of that confidence, even though I may not be overcome in lots of different areas, I still want Jesus to come. And I want that kind of fire to burn in me forever. There is a strange fire, which I mentioned. And there are many that are in the you know, apostate churches and some in independent churches, they smell of a strange fire. They do not smell of a holy fire that comes from the sanctuary. They smell of the fire of the world. And they have a whole lot of it stinking off of them, and they don't want to let go of it. And they don't understand that they cannot enter in smelling like the world into the kingdom. So we all also have to make sure we are bathing in the Holy Spirit every day. We are in that word every day. We are confessing whatever we need to confess every day, especially, as you mentioned before, self-examination. We have to make sure we are examining ourselves truthfully every day. No excuses. No pointing fingers at, oh, it was this, it was that one, that's the one that made me do it. No. We have to take our responsibility so that we don't smell like strange fire before the Lord. So I just share those things because I really believe it's important when we are talking about confidence, it is actually married with actionable faith, not just, oh, I'm confident. Otherwise, there are a lot of confident apostates. They're confident, but they're going to be very disappointed in the end.
Yeah, amen. Have we not prophesied in thy name? Christ says, I never knew you. Great points, dear brother. You know, there was a, as you were speaking about confidence, there was a hymn going through my mind. I asked what buoyed his spirit up. Oh, this, said he, the blessed hope. Now, the second coming. Amen. Well, let's read one more paragraph here before we close. Without the Spirit of God, a knowledge of His Word is of no avail. The theory of truth unaccompanied by the Holy Spirit cannot quicken the soul or sanctify the heart. One may be familiar with the commands and promises of the Bible, but unless the Spirit of God sets the truth home, the character will not be transformed. Without the enlightenment of the Spirit, men or women will not be able to distinguish truth from error, and they will fall under the masterful temptations of Satan. So we may know the truth, we may study God's word. We may discover the truth about the sanctuary, the state of the dead, the law of God, the Sabbath, etc. But knowing the truth is not enough. We have to practice the truth. And we can't practice the truth without the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit quickens, makes alive the soul and sanctifies our heart. So the truth is one thing, but we need the Spirit to make the truth effectual, living within us. So the Spirit of God is necessary to work within us to set the truth home and to make us understand it, to comprehend it, to write it in our hearts. And then our character will be transformed. But without the Spirit making the truth alive within us, the foundation within us, then there will be no transformation of our character. And without the Spirit living within us, without our character being transformed by obeying the truth, there will come a time in which we will not be able to distinguish truth from error. Go ye out to be with Christ, we will not be able to see the truth there, and we'll call that last message of mercy falsehood. And we'll fall under the masterful temptations of the devil. So each one of us needs to have an abundance of that heavenly oil working within us, allowing our light to shine, or we're going to be lost, even though we may know all the truth. And that is scary. But there's also hope. Because the Spirit is willing to come to anyone who asks the Father for him. Ask, and the Spirit will be given you. So we each need the Holy Spirit to make God's Word alive in our hearts. Then there will be a transformation of character. Then we will be born again. Then we'll become the children of the Most High, the children of light, the children of God. Otherwise, we're going to be lost, because we will not be able to tell the difference between truth and error. In other words, we'll be blind and fall into the ditch. Any last thoughts or comments, Dermot? Well, next time we'll pick it up at the paragraph that starts out, the class represented by the foolish virgins. And that's, you know, the top of page 411. So that's where we'll begin again and find out more about the foolish virgins. In other words, those that didn't separate from the bride's home. Find out next time. And who would like to offer closing prayer?
May we bow our heads on our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, Father, we thank you again for all these wonderful blessings that you have provided here for us today. Father, we are overwhelmed in a good way, Father Jesus, to know the abundance of blessing and mercy that you have towards us and the extensive guide that you have provided for us to walk this narrow path and to make it home with the bridegroom. Father, help each and every one of us, and even the separated ministries and all the ones that are searching for you, Father Jesus, that we will hear this call and that we will make sure now that we are understanding very clearly that the Holy Spirit is guiding us and teaching us into all truth. Father, be with us here for the rest of the day. We pray for your presence Lift our minds, keep our thoughts on you, Father Jesus. Bless us continuously be with the speaker, and help us as we move on to the next section of our study. Continuously be with us, I pray. Send your Holy Spirit to teach us into all truth, I pray. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. No, thank you, dear sister. Let us take a 10-minute break and then return back here at 10 after 12 Pacific or 10 after 3 Eastern. And so we'll see you then, dear ones.